At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. One segment at a time today, Jeff. One segment at a time. We don't want to look ahead to the next game. It's one or the next segment. One segment at a time.
We cliches got, abound. Let's do it.
Let's do a whole show of cliches. Welcome to the NFL, Rook. All right, so here we go. Today, we'll talk about UFC 274. Brett Okamoto was on Primetime Action with us last night. We'll get his thoughts on all the fights on the main card tomorrow. We will have Vinny here as well. As always, Vinny Maliul. I'll try to go easy on the Hall of Famer today. He's a Hall of Famer after all. Jason Weingarten jumps in on Friday with us. His thoughts on all things baseball, which is where we'll start today, by the way. Maybe we'll effort Patrick Maher from down at Churchill Downs. How about that? Our own Patrick Maher down at the Derby. We hope to effort him as well. Let me just start real quick here off the top. Do you have a tennis play? It's about to start in Madrid. I am on Carlos Alcaraz. I am on Carlos Alcaraz against the great Rafa Nadal. Yes, it's clay. I get it. But I'm on Alcaraz minus 118. That's the number that's available now. That's the number that was available last night. Alcaraz is a slight favorite on clay here, the youngster. Is he ready to take the mantle? Not that this should be a referendum. That will be determined at Roland Garros in a couple weeks. But this was the matchup everybody wanted to see as a preliminary bout, if you will, in the quarters here at Madrid. And so I am on Alcaraz this morning. Nadal had to stave off 4 match points against David Goffin yesterday to advance. Alcaraz dispatched his opponent yesterday, pretty lickety-split. Actually, no, he didn't. He ended up losing the second set, pardon me. He ends up winning a 3-setter yesterday. But I'm on Alcaraz here, minus 118, which is about to start. So if you want to bet some tennis while we do the show, jump on, be my guest. All right, Jeff, last night, we have to start with baseball. So first of all, let's start with the Reds before we get into anything else. Look at this stat, by the way. We're going to get to the Mets. 2-863 when trailing by 6-plus runs in the ninth inning in the history of the Mets. 2-863, the second being last night. But we'll get to that momentarily. Let's start with the Reds. We had Paul Sporer on Primetime Action last night. The Reds' adjusted season win total after falling to 3-22 yesterday afternoon. 3-22, which is a 120 winning percentage. By the way, if that pace kept for the entire season, they would win either 19 or 20 baseball games. Just if you did the whole on pace thing, we're not suggesting it'll continue that way. But they're 3-22. Their adjusted season win total was 65.5 3 days ago. Then it plummeted to 58.5. Now it is 57.5. We asked Sporer last night at 58.5 before the last one game adjustment, what would you do over under? He goes under. Under without hesitation. Of course, I ran him up against a wall, so he couldn't hesitate. 57.5 is where it is right now, Jeff. 57.5 is a bad baseball season. It's not epically bad, though. So you still have a chance to bet the Reds. If you think it's going to be epically bad, oh my goodness, you have a lot of room to work with at 57.5 still. What would you do? And let me just say this in advance. They still have, including 4 games set with the Pirates this weekend, one of which they're a slight dog in today. They'll be a rather large favorite tomorrow. But they've got, for the rest of the season, they've got, this includes this weekend, they have 19 remaining games with the Pirates, 7 more with the Nationals, just going through some of the worst teams in baseball right now. And depending on how you feel about the Cubs, 19 more with the Cubs. So they listen, just let's take the Pirates and the Nationals. That's 26 games right there against those two clubs. So factor that in. You going over or under on 57.5?
It's already comically low.
It's ridiculous.
We're 25 games in, and how big of an adjustment is that now?
Well, it's pretty massive. But like I said, 2-3 days ago, it was 65.5.
Yeah, before the season, it was low 70s, wasn't it? Weren't they low 70s preseason? I'm pretty sure.
Yes. They were not in the 60s.
I think they were 71.5.
71.5.
Something like that. So we're already talking now this morning, a 15-game adjustment?
And we knew they were tanking. When they traded Suarez and Winker to the Mariners, it was like, oh, my God, they are going to tank. If Votto is good by midseason, they'll trade him. But, man, have they done a spectacular job of this.
Joey Votto's one of the worst players in baseball so far this year. He's got an OPS under 500, which is really, really awful. Gil, I wouldn't want to bet it over. I can tell you that. Wouldn't want the over under any cost. The only thing is, what happens? Forget this weekend. Let's go through the next 9 days of games for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a doubleheader this weekend against the Pirates. It's one of those made-up games from the games that were canceled during the lockout. They have 8 games in their next 11. It's eight games in the next 10 days against the Pirates. If they go 1-7, let's say they go 1-7, how low does that number tank?
Low 50s.
It has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Has to be like 51.5, 52.
Which is why I'm bringing it up now, because you got to get ahead of that, right? So if you believe that's going to happen, you want to get ahead of that. Anyway, it's fun to watch because they're so bad. You imagine being a player on that team showing up every day like, okay, here we go again. Let's see what they do against the Pirates this weekend and beyond. Of course, the other big thing that happened in baseball, and in baseball betting specifically yesterday, your Mets, Jeff Parlay, down 7-1 heading into the ninth, plate 7 in the top of the ninth, and that holds. And the Mets beat the Phillies 8-7, a 7 spot in the ninth. And if you look at the Fangraphs win probability chart, when Bryce Harper grounded out to end the eighth, there it is right there. And the score was 7-1. The Phillies had a 99.8% win probability. A 99.8% win probability. Therefore, the Mets had a 0.2% win probability. That ain't 0.0, though, is it? And it came home. And the reason I bring this up is for those of us who have bet baseball, if you have bet baseball long enough, and all I used to do was bet baseball here, you will run into these once every, I don't know, you're lucky if you avoid them. But Jeff, I can tell you that it's happened to me twice where I've been on the bad end of this kind of thing. I remember the dates. They're etched into my head. I remember where I was. And it will drive you to your baseball betting grave. Would you like to take a stroll down memory lane? Because I would. August 1st, 2013. August 1st, 2013, old Gil had himself a Seattle Mariners bet that day. Felix was on the hill for the Mariners. They were at Fenway. Mariners led heading into the ninth, 7-2. So remember, one less run than the Phillies had the Mets down yesterday. And at the peak here, at the beginning, this was in the top of the ninth. Top of the ninth when the Mariners had runners on up 7-2, I had a 99.4% win probability, up 5 runs. So what's that, 0.4% less than last night. And Robbie Thompson was the interim manager of the Mariners that night, and in the bottom of the ninth, he tapped the wrong forearm when making a pitching change to give his team, the Mariners, and my bet, an unfavorable pitching matchup against the performance-enhancing drug, allegedly, infused Boston Red Sox offense. And the Red Sox storm back and win it, 8-7, plating 6 in the bottom of the ninth. I was at the Hard Rock in my hotel room by myself, just dying watching this. Dying. Really? He tapped his wrong forearm? And you figure, okay, That's the last, you know, how often can that happen to you in sports betting? Yeah, that can't possibly happen again. Oh, no, May 26th, or was it May 28th, 2016? Swear to God, I'm not making this up. You remember where you were. This was a White Sox-Royals game, May 28th, 2016. Why are you laughing?
Because I even remember where I was for this, and I didn't have a bet for the game on this.
I was at Chrissy Field in San Francisco, and I was texting with Rufus Peabody. Now, he won't remember it because he didn't have a bet on it, but he may remember texting me, oh, I'm so sorry, Gil. I had the White Sox. The White Sox are up 7-1 in the ninth, and the very first batter for the Royals in the bottom of the ninth, down 7-1, Paolo Orlando struck out. And my win probability was, yes, ladies and gentlemen, 99.9%, up 6 runs, only needing 2 out. Oh, boy. Do I even have to tell you what happened? All I know is that every few, you know, I was jogging, and then I would check the play-by-play, and every time, like, it would get worse, I would just stop in my tracks. And I'd be like, I can't believe this is happening. And Whit Merrifield, that's all I remember was Whit Merrifield, of course, with the game-winning RBI. I think it was like, I think he like plated 2 runs at the end or 3 runs on the last end. Anyway, Royals come all the way back. They played 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth. They went 8-7, May 28th, 2016. You remember where you were. And if you had the Phillies last night, you're going to remember where you were probably forever if you do this, as long as you bet baseball. And as far as your Mets are concerned, do you look at that game last night and you say to yourself, this is it, Jeff. This is the year. Like this... This what could possibly go wrong?
Well, here's the ridiculous thing. This is now 2 just
yes.
absurdist wins in the ninth inning in the last 10 days. Because they did something not quite this insane, but down to their final out where Arenado had the ball in his hands to make the final out at first base, and he made an error who, yes Nolan Arenado makes a lot of errors, as we know, Gil. And the Mets scored 5 after that last week in St. Louis. Now they flip around and do this. It's very different than what I'm used to. That's all I'll say, Gil.
What's Nick Bogdanovich's line? He goes, betting baseball, you know, whiskey and a revolver.
Yep.
I mean, that happened last night. Like I said, if you bet this long enough, you're going to run into it. If you are on the winning side of these bets, by the way, don't ever say another word again. Just don't want to hear from you ever again. No matter what happens to you the rest of your betting career, just remember this win. Baseball betting, whiskey and a revolver. Great line from Bogdanovich. Coming back, Brett Okamoto on UFC 274 next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-522-4700. Jeff, you been the Canelo fight this weekend? Any interest there?
What's the
what a weekend, by the way.
What's the point of betting a Canelo fight?
That's why I'm asking. That's why I'm asking.
Unless if you're betting Canelo, which...
Can I interest you in a very, very heavy bare-knuckle boxing menu that's also available this weekend?
That's exciting.
You put up your hands and then you do the old-fashioned bare-knuckle thing. Now, Canelo is a minus 545 favorite against Dmitry Bivol, so plus $4 on the
I didn't even put together until I saw a few tweets this week that Canelo was fighting. And then, of course, as we know, every Cinco de Mayo weekend, Canelo fights here.
Cinco de Mayo.
Also, Gil, some quick Derby news if you're interested.
Get it in.
Yes, Ethereal Road, the 20 horse, has been scratched.
They do have an alternate horse,
have an alternate that will be Rich Strike will replace him.
Sure. You're familiar with the work of Rich Strike, aren't you? We're efforting Patrick Maher from down there at Churchill Downs. We'll see what we can do. Get some more Derby talk. Who have we had this week talking Derby? Felica, Fornital, and Dinsick all talking Derby with us this week. What's your takeaway from everything they've said? Because remember, Fornital went with Mo Donegal on the rail. He was sort of the outlier.
It really does feel like that if Mo Donegal is not in the one hole and Peter's not the only one who has said this week, even though he stuck to his guns and stayed with him.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that to a point that I trust on this subject that said if Mo Donegal wasn't in the one slot, it would have been a legitimate bet this week. It's just that it's hard to win from the rail. Going into this week, the only horse that I was really considering betting was Messier, and then Drew Dinsick at the end of his segment yesterday goes that he wouldn't be shocked if Messier goes wire to wire. Yeah. So that's
well, the ones that keep convincing. Coming up in whatever order, right? Messier, Zandon, and then Taba being the other Baffert horse, even though Baffert's not there, right? Felica was fading Epicenter. I think Christy Andrews likes Epicenter. So, yeah, that's the group. And then there was Cyberknife from a while ago, but I don't hear as much Cyberknife anymore. Cyberknife being in the 16
maybe
hole.
That's the one that you sit back, let the number keep ticking up, and just wait till the last minute.
Here's what I know. Whatever I bet, it's going to lose. Whatever I end up betting, I should do a service, right? I should tweet out, here's the horse I'm betting. Please, everybody, for God's sakes, bet another horse.
Well, that's what, just tweet it out like an hour before the race tomorrow and then just remind everyone of your track record on the Derby.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm in the same boat as you, by the way, which I'm still angry. There was the 2019 Derby where Maximum Security got DQ'd for the controversial
who could forget
bump.
It? Sure.
Yeah.
I was up at the South Point Ballroom. Bringing the average age down 20 years. It's amazing. All right, five bouts on the main card, five fights on the main card tomorrow for UFC 274. We had Brett Okamoto from ESPN on with us last night on Primetime Action with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin. Let's get his reaction to all five in ascending order. Let us start with the lightweight bout between Donald Cowboy Cerrone and Joe Lauzon, who is... the dog here, Cerrone, minus one, as high as minus 190, I'm seeing. But shop around for these because we were posting minus 165 last night. But here's Okamoto's thoughts on that one.
That is one of those ones where I think the odds makers kind of got it right. That's about what I think the line should be. You know, you've got Cowboy, and of course, like, everybody is aware that Cowboy has... It's been a long time since he got a win. You know, it's been 3 years since he's had a win. I actually thought he beat Anthony Pettis in 2020. So, you know, you turn that into a win and the losing streak doesn't look as bad. But Cowboys, he's had a long career. He's stuffed a lot of action into that long career. You know, I mean, I was talking to him this week and the guy between the UFC and the WC had 48 fights. I mean, it's hard to even wrap my head around that, you know, and on one hand, that's a lot of experience that he can draw from. On the other hand, that's a lot of miles to be putting on. So I think it's good that he took an entire year off. This is the first time we've seen Donald in a year. I also think talking to him, and I'm not stepping out on a limb here, he's been very emotional. Like, he cried at Media Day. He's got his kids here. There's, you know, speculation or at least, you know, questions about, like, could this be the last time we see him? So I don't love taking a fighter who's coming into a fight under a lot of emotional distress. I think it's just like a variable that you can't really figure out. But if Cowboy is on top of his game, I mean, Joe Lauzon hasn't fought in a couple years either. And Joe was, you know, a great lightweight for the company for many, many years. But he was never as good as Cowboy. He's never been as accomplished as Cowboy. And, you know, he's kind of facing the same sort of wear and tear. So I think if Cowboy is on, then that line is about appropriate. But Cowboy has been really hard to predict over the course of his entire career. Man, sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. So I don't know what to do with that fight, but I think the line's about right.
All right, let's go to the light heavy. This is between Shogun Rua and St. Preux. With St. Preux, minus 240, minus 250-ish favorite. And Matt asked Brett Okamoto about that one.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on who wins it. I mean, OSP is like another guy who's been kind of hard to predict at times. He's had some off nights. You know, he's had some nights where he's lost as a favorite, and he just didn't look like, you know, whether it was like decision-making or just like kind of confidence and killer instinct. Like OSP has had some problems, you know, and that's why I think that he's always had a lot of like physical attributes and athletic talent, but you know, he hasn't really been that really consistent, reliable guy where you just know what's going to happen in an OSP fight. It's interesting you talk about the total. I could see it going both ways, Matt. I mean, like you said, is it their styles kind of lend themselves to finishes, but I also think that Shogun is sort of in that stage of his career. You sometimes see this with the older guys, that they learn how to defend themselves and to take less damage. You know, as you get older in your career, it's like you just don't want to get into these battles where you're taking a lot of damage. And sometimes it's like these fights can look like sparring matches, you know, just because these guys are mm-hmm. so well seasoned, they're so experienced. They I think about Tyron Woodley as like the most great example. Like he kind of stopped putting himself into firefights, and he would lose, but he would not take much damage. You know, I wonder if I always get kind of nervous with a fight dealing with somebody like a Shogun, because what if he just comes out and says, hey, you know, like I want to win this fight, of course, but I'm going to be selective with my shots. I'm going to be efficient with my energy, and I don't want to take a whole lot of damage. So I could see this fight going over, but I don't blame you for kind of looking at the under.
Okay, here's where it gets good. This is the lightweight bout between Michael Chandler and Tony Ferguson. Michael Chandler, prohibitive favorite, nearly a $4 favorite in this. He fell short on his last two fights, but Ferguson's been out of the fight game for over a year. But Okamoto had an interesting take on this.
I'm going against the grain on this one. I think Tony is going to put on a good performance. I think that Tony was really bitter and not in a good space mentally when everything happened with the pandemic and he lost the Khabib fight again. He never got to fight that guy, and then he had to fight Justin Gaethje, and he lost that fight terribly. But if you look at what Tony Ferguson, like, I just don't think mentally he's been in a great place. I think he just wasn't happy. And if you listen to him this week, he says, like, I'm having fun again. And a lot of guys say that. But I do think that he kind of came to this acknowledgement of, you know, I'm concentrating on the wrong things. I need to concentrate on competition. Whether or not that's enough to beat Michael Chandler, we'll see. I mean, Michael Chandler is the big favorite for obvious reasons. But I am giving Tony a chance in this. I really, really, really am. I think this fight's going to be closer than people think. I could be wrong, of course, but I believe it's going to be a good fight.
All right, what about the co-main? Thug Rose, nearly a $2 favorite against Carla Esparza in the strawweight co-main event.
Yeah, I mean, the path to victory is there, right? I mean, I think that's probably why people like the price, is that we've seen it before. We've seen it with Carla herself, so that was years ago. But we've also seen others sort of implement this strategy against Rose, where you can be physical with her, you can pressure her, you can take away some of the footwork and the distance and the feints and everything if you just pressure her and put her on the ground. And Carla Esparza is one of, if not the best, strawweights at doing that. I do think that Rose is just in a different place. I mean, she's obviously, she was young, very young for throughout her a lot of her UFC career. She was in big fights at a young age. Now I just think she's mature, and I think she's embracing the role of a champion. But Rose is another one, you know, that just is kind of hard to predict sometimes. Like, she has off nights, and Carla does have the tools to beat her. I think that it's so obvious what Carla has to do that it's going to be an uphill battle. And I think that Rose has gotten better at what she needs to do in order to win this fight. But it does not surprise me that some of the sharps are really looking at Carla Esparza, because, hey, I mean, you've seen it happen before. And Carla flies so under the radar. So you probably are getting a little bit of value in the price. But I do think it's going to be an uphill battle for Carla.
All right, there you go. Oh, yes, I know there's one more. The main event between Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje. We'll get Brett Okamoto's answer to that. It was short and sweet answer, but we'll get his short and sweet answer to which way he's betting that here after the break. Any interest on Tony Ferguson at about a $3 dog there? That was the one that stuck out to me.
Sure did.
Interesting. UFC 274. We'll get his reaction to Oliveira Gaethje right after the break. And some interesting props as the NBA returns tonight. We'll get our thoughts on the we'll talk about the spreads tonight and then some props heading into the series this weekend. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow, and right now VSiN's offering you a special $9.99 Kentucky Derby betting guide with previews of all the horses and jockeys for every race, plus best bets for the entire weekend, including the Run for the Roses. Pre-order your copy now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/derbyguide. That's VSiN.com/derbyguide. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Oh, I guess we have to get Brett Okamoto's final answer here for Oliveira and Gaethje. The main event, tomorrow night's UFC 274. It's a very quick answer to the question, which way he's going on that. And here it is from Brett Okamoto.
I got Gaethje. I think you know how you just sometimes feel it's some guy's night, and I think it's a bad stylistic matchup for Charles. Charles is obviously one of the best finishers in the entire UFC history, so he's a favorite for a reason. He's a champ, but I'd be looking at Gaethje at plus money.
All right, Gaethje plus money, plus 145, plus 150, somewhere in that pocket. Jeff, you had some interesting. Jason Stark, we were talking about the Reds earlier and their epic swoon. I don't even know if we can call it a swoon. Their epic start, horrific start to the season. You had some Jason Stark historical anomalies that he wanted to drive the point home as to how bad this baseball team is. What do you got there with the Reds? Because this is fascinating.
Well, I got to pull it up, but all I can tell you, Gil, the one that I know off the top of my head is the two worst teams in baseball history, the 62 Mets, as we know. Somehow the 03 Tigers, with that nice win streak at the end of the season,
yeah,
avoided that fade. And then, of course, everyone remembers the Cleveland Spiders.
Oh, 1899, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1899. Everyone remembers them, who won a hearty 20 games that year. The Reds are actually off to a worse 25-game start than those teams.
Oh, Gil, I believe it, yeah.
The only two that are worse, I think you know one of them.
The Orioles, who started out 1988?
0-21. 0-21 and 2-23.
Yeah.
And then those 0-3 Tigers that were 3-22, which is the same record,
wow,
that Cincinnati is right now. Of course, the Reds are 1-20 over the last 21 games after starting the season 2-2.
Keep in mind, they were 2-2. Right.
Split those four in Atlanta.
That Orioles team was managed by Cal Ripken Sr., I believe. It gave way to Joe Altobelli, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
The Reds still haven't won two in a row.
No.
Pretty impressive. They are winless in every game they have scored in the top of the first inning this year.
Which happened a couple nights ago.
Happened yesterday.
Yesterday too. Right.
3-0 lead. Hunter Green gives it right back up. If they're behind, they're still over. They have not come from behind yet in any of their three wins. Those are straight out from that. And I think the most impressive one, the two that I'm getting to, their starting rotation's ERA is 8.91.
Jeez.
Which is obviously horrendous in a environment where teams aren't scoring runs and you have an ERA for your rotation, almost a 9. And also, Gil, it is yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. The Reds are 14 and a half games out of first place already.
It's insane.
25 games.
14 and a half out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from 3JackH3131. Gil, I was on that Mariners-Red Sox game. He's referring to one of the worst beats ever in baseball that I've ever taken, one of the two worst. It nearly cost my TV its life that night. We all remember where we were when we had bad beats like that. Sean Higgs, come on, Mets, last night, never in doubt. This is from Because He Gets on Base. Admittedly pessimistic, but unbiased Mets fan here. Yesterday, right before I left work, had a friend of mine ask me if I think the Mets win. Told him I don't. And I'd actually bet the Phillies if I were him. He did. Oops. J-Rod, talking about this tennis match that we're betting right now. The biggest age difference in a 1,000 quarter ever between Rafa Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz. Carlos Alcaraz, who just turned 19 years old. I believe it. I want to say it was yesterday that he turned 19 years old. The match started out with Alcaraz breaking Nadal. Nadal broke Alcaraz right back. And a break point now for Carlos Alcaraz anyway in that one. So off to a nervy start for both of this in this epic match right here. By the way, Paul Carr also on that first segment. He will be joining us to talk Premier League in just a bit. Paul Carr texting in, did not expect a Paolo Orlando reference early today, which was the low mark for the Royals in that game, win probability wise, and the one in 2016. And Felica, very upset with you for you being upset at the Derby a few years ago. He said, "How dare you?"
I wonder if my prism of my bets that day had anything to do with that, Gil.
That's or his prism, by the way.
Both of those. All right. By the way, Gil, I just want to bring something up since Paul brought up Paul Orlando and you brought him up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know who actually had the key hit in that ninth inning? Because I went through that box score.
Oh, please don't.
It was actually Brett Eibner.
Oh,
to make
know.
It even worse for you.
So horrible. Like literally 20 steps on Chris, jogging 20 steps, and then you're like, oh no, another hit? Okay, so basketball returns tonight after the stage was dark last night. By the way, for NHL playoffs, just no relation between one game to the next. None whatsoever.
It's been what it's always been.
It's what it's always been. The NHL play, you can't make correlations. NBA, different story. Game threes tonight of the series that just had the game twos in the NBA's infinite scheduling wisdom here. I guess because Memphis, San Francisco was the longest distance, they decided to, I don't know, I'm just giving them excuses. It was really what you said. It was TNT had the hockey stuff, and that's what happened. But I don't know why they arranged it this way. Heat and Sixers game three tonight. Now, when we were here yesterday, the Sixers were 1.5-point favorites. The Heat are now 3-point favorites. You might even see 3.5 in some spots. And this was on the news yesterday that Joel Embiid is still listed as out. But it's not a permanent out if he clears concussion protocol. So we really don't know what Embiid's status is for Game 3 tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And therefore, ergo, that makes that unbettable to you pre-flop, I would imagine, until we know for sure?
Well, very simple. DeAndre Jordan starts at center for Philadelphia. We're going to bet the Heat in the first quarter again.
That's all you need to
That's
know.
All we're going to do.
And then about the Suns and the Mavericks, Game 3 tonight. Suns are 1.5-point favorites. I don't know. Like, remember before the postseason, everybody's like, oh, Mavericks could give him a lot of guff with Luka. I'm just not feeling it. He's getting no help. No preflop. I'll just wait for the Suns to fall behind, and I'll bet the Suns. I'll do the same with the Mavs, I think, tonight as well.
Yeah, Phoenix is just much better. And I think what Will Hill said to you yesterday.
I brought it up on primetime yesterday.
Was right. I think the Booker injury and the way that the Pelicans were pesky. Like, that was the New Orleans. New Orleans was not your normal 8 seed. A lot of talent, just had that horrible start. That's why the record was terrible. But Booker getting hurt took us off the scent. Phoenix is the best team the whole year. And they're showing it right now in this series.
Zion's stepfather still saying he's playing this season? I'm curious for the Pelicans. Is that still happening for his stepfather? No?
Yeah, I think so.
Alcaraz, I'm joking, obviously. Alcaraz breaks back. 2-1 Alcaraz, first set. Okay, so this prop, though, applies to the Celtics and the Bucks series. These props, these are available at DraftKings. These are pretty interesting because this has to do with you can bet on who will end up with the most points, with the most rebounds, with the most assists at the conclusion of the series. Now, we'll just use the Bucks and the Celtics because it's probably the most bettable of the bunch because Luka has like a huge point lead in one series, obviously. Just to give another example. But here it is. So give an example, series points leader. This is per DraftKings, series points leader in the Bucks-Celtics series. So whenever this series ends, be it after 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games, who's going to be the series point leader? Giannis is the favorite at minus 185. He currently has 52 points thus far in the series. Jason Tatum, who trails Giannis by 2 points at 50 points, has a much nicer number, plus 150 in terms of the betting odds. Jaylen Brown is at 42, 10 points behind the leader currently at Giannis. He's at 25-1 to end this series as the series point leader. And Drew, who actually has 2 points more than Jaylen does, 8 points behind Giannis. Drew Holiday, 44. He's 80-1. Now, let me ask you a question here, Jeff. I mean, I could actually make a case at 80-1 to bet Drew. I could probably actually make a case Jaylen Brown 10 points down at 25-1. Because I think if you run this back 80 times, Drew probably does end up leading it more than once. And I think if you run this back 25 times, Jaylen probably does lead this more than once. Could you lay the minus 185 with Giannis? I think I probably take the plus 150 on Jason Tatum.
Wouldn't want to lay it.
No.
Because all this takes here is one, and the problem may be Jaylen Brown might have just had his big game. So you may
maybe
be.
But maybe. Maybe not.
But again, yeah. This market's a tough one to bet.
25-1 is and 80-1 are pretty interesting.
No, I was going to say the 80-1 on Holiday. Now, you're asking them to make up 9 points on Giannis. I don't know what the dead heat rules would be if this ends up in a tie. But 80-1, like you, one out of 80 times.
Good on DraftKings for offering this. We do have it for assists as well in this series as well. Now, Giannis with the massive lead in assists right now, 5 over Jason Tatum, 7 over Drew Holiday. Giannis is also minus 185 here. Assists way more sloggy to make up ground, if you will, obviously, because you can only do one of those at a time. By the way, Marcus Smart, who's missed a game, I mean, he's too far behind, right? Like, you can't play that at 40-1. He's only got 6. He's 13 behind Giannis. I actually think you probably do consider laying the number with Giannis here. Is there anything else you'd play here? I'd rather lay this in assists than I would in the points, that's for sure.
I don't want anything
to do with this either.
I would only lay with Giannis.
Yeah, I think in the points market, though, there's a bet there. I think there's a flyer there for sure. Not in a DraftKings jurisdiction, can't bet it, but for those who are. Anyway, interesting offerings. So many different ways to bet these series, and that was one that came up that we wanted to share. Series points, series, by the way, they have them for rebounds as well in each of the series. But just a couple examples. We'll come back. Paul Carr, Premier League picks next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get in the ring with BetMGM and you can win $200 for a $10 wager on the boxing showdown between Canelo Alvarez and Dimitri Bivol. Just use bonus code VSiN200, and if the fight goes past the first round, you'll receive $200 back in free bets. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com, use promo code VSiN200, and bet $10 on the mega fight everyone's been waiting for. Really? Make a fight that everyone's been waiting for. If the fight goes past the first round, you'll claim a $200 payday. Don't forget to watch live on DAZN, May 7th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Willie Parker checks in. He said, here's the most astonishing number. Reds pitchers, 166 runs allowed. Reds hitters, 162 hits. Oh, my God. Let me repeat that. Reds pitchers, 166 runs allowed. Reds hitters, 162 hits. Since the NL inception in 1876, no team has allowed more runs than the number of hits by their hitters through more than 22 games in a season. Thank you, Willie Parker, for that. That's fascinating. And everybody calling in with their worst beats, that first segment certainly resonated. Our expert, Yanks down 9-0, win in 10, June 26, 1987. We're going back to the 80s, Jeff. Only third inning, but I had Clemens in his prime. He gives up 8 runs in the third, and they lose 12, 11, and 10 innings. Yeah, but that was the third inning. You can't go crazy on that. But I know we all have our moments. Thank you for that, our expert. J.D. Emmons. Adding sloggy to the Gil Book of Slang. Love it. It was sluggy. We'll throw that in. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, he joins us from Topeka, Kansas, with his Premier League soccer picks. You weren't expecting the Paulo Orlando reference earlier, Paul, for your Royals?
My Paulo Orlando Brett Eibner parlay just cashed big time for me. It's great.
It was brutal. Jeff just said, Jeff was like, I didn't even have a bet in the game, and I remember where I was. Like, it really is, with apologies to the Kennedy family. It's like Kennedy assassination, where generation above us says, "Oh, you remember where you were in your sports betting horrific moments. You remember where you were." By the way, worse the opposite. What were you saying? We got in a conversation about being in a plane with bets. Like I'm trying to when Josh.
You're talking like this, the Champions League final or the Champions League semi from this week. Quite a plane, but
oh my goodness. I mean, we have to talk about that in a minute. But, like, I remember when Josh Rosen had the comeback against Texas A&M. Does everybody remember that college football game? It was, like, one of the great moments in leaflet history. Like, I would get up in the plane, and I'd look back, and I was like, is anybody else watching this?
Yeah.
You just remember certain things of where you were. About that Real Madrid thing the other day, we got to talk about this.
Man.
So tell your story on where you were.
Yeah, so I was in New York for business, and I was actually out in New Jersey having dinner with a buddy. And watching the game on my phone. And Man City's up, you know, most of the game, pretty even game, but City's up. I have a bet on City to win the match. It's the 89th minute, and the stream goes out on my phone when City's up 1-0.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm not too concerned. City's, you know, seems to have the control.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a few minutes to get back for, you know, the vagaries of streaming and such. And it comes back on, and Real Madrid is celebrating. I'm like, man. So, I lost my bet. That stinks. And then I look at the score bug, and it's 2-1 Real Madrid. Like, what? I missed both goals. And then Madrid goes on to win an extra time.
Win an extra time and advance, right? Like, so
yeah.
I had my girlfriend is here, so she was watching whatever she was watching. And, you know, with soccer, apologies to the soccer community, I tend to forget sometimes, and my brain tends to stray. But I check the score, right? I check your score, and exactly, I swear this is exactly true, 1-0, 90 with the little, you know, little hash mark next to the 90th minute.
Yep.
And I then quickly look away, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, Paul's going to win another, right? And an hour later, because I wasn't watching. I just did the highlights. An hour later, I rechecked the score. And you ever recheck? Remember that Texas A&M March Madness game a few years ago, Jeff, where they were down, like, he's putting his head in his hands.
Northern Iowa game.
Yeah. They were down double digits. I was at the Cosmo with, like, less than a minute in the game.
So it was 12 points in 51 seconds. Trust me, I know that one.
He remembers, right?
I know that one.
I stopped watching because I had to go to dinner. I was meeting Chrissy, I believe, for dinner at Nora's here. And I got in, don't hold me to that, but I got in the Uber at the time. And I was just checking through scores, and I saw that the game was in overtime and Texas A&M was winning. And I had to, like, stare at it for a minute. I was like, they made a mistake on this. This can't possibly be. Like, the tracker must have gone out of whack. That was my reaction when I saw it. Real Madrid 3-1. I looked at it, and I had to stare at it for about 10 seconds, which is an eternity, for the brain to process how could this have been. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the score bug messed up. You know, they got generous and gave them two goals at once or something. I had that experience with that Baylor North Carolina game in the tournament this year where Carolina was up 25 or whatever, and I had to run somewhere, and by the time I got there 10 minutes later, it was like a 2-point game. What's going on? You think there's a mistake somewhere.
You know what else I thought about when you lost that? I was like, this makes up for the 95th minute, the 92nd minute, the 91st minute wins that you had.
I really can't complain.
You really can't complain.
The last few weeks in the Premier League. Yeah.
All right. Three-pack Premier League. What do you got this weekend?
All right. These are all Saturday. We're going to start with Brentford against Southampton. This is the ever-popular take-the-better-team method here. Brentford's better than Southampton. They're at home. They're getting plus money. I played the plus 130. I think it's drifting down. But I played a little bit lower than that. Brentford's won 5 of 8. I know they lost 3-0 to Man United Monday, but they weren't that bad. United got a penalty that kind of put the game away, and then a late goal too. Southampton is winless in 5 straight. They have not been that great. Only one of those games was against a top team, so it's not a scheduling thing. Christian Eriksen, we've talked about it. Southampton, or Brentford rather, 5-1-1 with them in the lineup. And also, I'm rooting against Southampton because I have an under on 43.5 points, and they're on 40 with 3 games left. Mm-hmm. So let's see if we can pull that one out of the fire.
Oh, what was your total? What was your season point total on them?
I have under 43.5 on Southampton, and they have 40 points with 3 games left. So About a month ago, it looked like a no shot. And now there's a bit of a sweat.
Yeah, three games left in the season, so this would be huge. Both Brentford and Southampton, by the way, have the 40-point mark right now, but you got the under on Southampton, so trying to kill two birds with one stone here with the Brentford win. Yep. All right, next.
Next, we're going to try betting against Man United again. I'm taking Brighton to win at home against Man United, plus 185 is my price. I know United has, I think it's 14 more points than Brighton this season, but their underlying numbers are pretty close. Brighton's shot difference is actually better than Manchester United. United's only a couple better in expected goal difference this season. And they played only a couple months ago in February. And Brighton was outplaying United until Ronaldo struck from long range. What can you do? And then Brighton got a red card, and it was kind of all over after that. So Brighton's won 3 out of 5, and those wins were at Arsenal, at Tottenham, at Wolves. So they're playing relatively well. And United hasn't been great on the road, don't have a lot to play for. And speaking of season totals, I need 3 more points from Brighton to hit the season over there. So,
oh, they're at 44. You need 47.
Yeah, over 46.5.
Over 46.5. Okay. Brighton right now, 9th place. By the way, so Man U, they are not going to get into Champions League range. That is a done deal, pretty much.
Yeah. They're mathematically alive, but.
But done, but yeah. No. Yeah. They would have to have everything go their way at this point, too.
They have to win out. Arsenal, Tottenham have to lose out, and they need like a 30-goal difference, 30-swing goal difference or something.
Oh, yeah, that last part might be a little
maybe it's only
troublesome.
20, but it's not happening.
Okay. And then a total to wrap things up in what might be the match of the weekend.
Yeah, this is the big one of the weekend. Tomorrow afternoon, Liverpool-Tottenham. I have over 3.5 goals at plus 130. Liverpool, almost half their home games this year had 4-plus goals, 8 out of 17, and that includes the big games that you sometimes might think are cagey, but against City, against Arsenal, against United, they all had at least 4 goals. Tottenham has something to play for. They're a little bit behind Arsenal for the top 4 spot, so you know they really need to kind of go for this a little bit. I don't think they're going to sit back and try to scratch out a draw, and 7 of their last 10 have had 4-plus goals. So I think this will be open. I don't mind Liverpool giving a goal and a half at plus 115. It feels a lot like a 3-1 Liverpool type of game here.
All right, so Arsenal with a 2-point lead currently over Tottenham for that 4th position for a Champions League spot there. 4 games remaining, so Tottenham on the outside looking in. And Liverpool 1 point behind Man City with 4 to play. How do you think it wraps up in the end? Man City gets this or Liverpool?
I think City's going to hang on for this one. And that brings up a good point that goal difference is a big deal. Liverpool is just a little bit ahead of United or City right now in goal difference. That's your first tiebreaker if they finish tied on points. So, yeah, if this is like 2-1 Liverpool or 2-0 Liverpool at some point, they are probably going to, keep pouring it on and try to get another goal or two because goal difference may decide the title.
Okay. So Brentford over Southampton this weekend, plus 130 is where Paul got it, always shop around. Brighton over Man U, loves the fate of Man U, plus 185, but check on the number there. And Liverpool-Tottenham, the over 3.5 goals for all the reasons stated, plus 130. Try to get the best number you can get. All of those tomorrow for your Premier League action. Paul, no more Paolo Orlando references today, I promise. That was the last one.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
He tied some record since 1900. He had 5 triples in his first 7 games or something.
Yeah.
One of my favorite notes.
Yeah, and then Jen just stabbed me in the heart that one day as well. That's another career accomplishment. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. At Paul Carr on Twitter, C-A-R-R, Expected Value Podcast, of course, and True Media Networks. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.